Ephesians chapter 4. And this afternoon we'll be preaching those thoughts from both of those songs. Victory in Jesus and Onward, Christian Soldiers. And because of that, we're constantly abiding. Ephesians chapter 4, and we've been considering under the point gifts he gave to his body. Gift he gave to his body. And last week, looking at the fact of his being as a conqueror, the victory in Jesus, we sang, he led captivity captive. And we looked at last week what he led captive. And of course, I know got carried away and couldn't help but relate how that, because he led them captive, we've got a, and he had the victory, he is the conquering victor, and we've got the victory. Well, we're going to talk more today about that victory that we have, because he is the conquering victor. And it is in the form of what he says in verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Turn with me back to the book of Psalms. The book of the Psalms in chapter 68, and we looked at this verse last week, and we will reread it this week and freshen your thoughts, because what we had in verse 8 of Ephesians 4 is a quote, is a reference to Psalm 68 and verse 18. Blessed be the Lord. I'm on verse 19, sorry. Verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Our text said, in verse 8, he gave gifts unto men. The psalm says he received gifts. It makes it sound like these things were given unto him, and he received them. The word received there in Psalm 68:18 means to carry away. Remember the context of Psalm 68 is talking about the Lord as a conqueror, as the victor, winning the battle. And in those days, the victor carried away the spoils of victory. Those things that he was victorious over, he carried them away and distributed to his people, his constituents. until the conqueror carried away the spoils of victory and gave unto his followers. His army and his people, his followers. Jesus Christ. The victor. Carried away the spoils of victory by his obedience, by his sufferings. He conquered the prince of this world. He dealt a death blow to him. We looked at all of that last week. He redeemed his people. And obtained the right to bestow upon them all the needed good. He gave unto his people the spoils of which he earned the right of the victor of the battle. Last week we looked at the fact that he led captivity captive, and all those things that he led captive, he's given those to us as gifts. Victory over sin. Remember that? We looked at he led captivity. What did he leave captive? Sin. Well, he gave us victory. It's a gift. It's the spoils of victory. He gave us victory over sin. Turn with me to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. And yes, in some ways, a lot of this is going to be repetitious of last week, but there will be scriptures that we did not look at last week. Thoughts that we'll glean from in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 6. We read, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, the victor, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He's the victor. He was victorious over it. He's given us the victory over sin. That's what this verse is talking about. Because he was victorious over it, then we should be, being his, we should be also. For he that is dead is freed from sin. We are dead to sin. We've got the victory over it. Let's continue reading. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him, over Christ. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, you that are born again, you that are saved, you that have died with Christ, died in Christ. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. He said, sin no more rule, has the rule over us. Why? Because he conquered sin, he led it captive, and he's given to us victory over sin. We don't have to serve sin. We don't have to let sin rule. Sin doesn't have the dominion, he says, any longer. Secondly, he's not only given us the victory over sin, he's given us the victory over Satan.
Yes.
Victory over Satan. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians in chapter 6. And yes, it's going to be a while before we get to chapter 6, so we're safe and dealing with this now. But in Ephesians chapter 6, and look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, the cunning, the deceit, the trickery of the devil. And what is He giving us that enables us to have the victory over Satan, over the devil? The armor of God. He's given us armor. He's given us the breastplate of righteousness. He's given us the gospel of peace, wherewith our feet are to be shod. He's given to us the helmet of salvation. He's given to us the sword of the Spirit. He's given to us the shield of faith. All these are armament, the armament of God. He defeated Satan. Because He defeated Satan, we can too. We can too. We have to take His armor. Well, we have the helmet of salvation. We have the gospel. We have His righteousness. We can have the victory. He's given us the victory.
Amen.
Over Satan. Satan no longer has a hold on us. Sin has not a hold on us. Sin is not ruling over us and reigning over us any longer. Well, He's also given us victory over spiritual enemies. Those would be Satan's demons, his angels, those who do his bidding. He's given us victory over them. In verse 12 of the same chapter, he said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." These are all the forces of Satan that are at his command and that are at his disposal. Doing his bidding. He's given us the victory over them. He's given us armament. Take the armor of God that you might be able to stand against all of these. He's given us victory over death and the grave. And yes, that was wrapped up in part of the lesson last week too. All these were wrapped up in part of the lesson last week. And yes, we looked at these verses last week as concerning Christ being the victor. But this week, look at them concerning us being the victor. And back to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. And look at verse 54. So when this corruptible this right here is corruptible.
Yes.
Shall I put on incorruption, this mortal, this which is subject to die. Yeah. Shall I put on immortality.
Everlasting
life. Yes. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What was given to us? By the conquering victor? The same victory. Over death and the grave. Listen, the grave is not going to keep us. The grave, did the grave keep him? Did the tomb keep him? No, it didn't. Mary and those other women that ran there on the resurrection morning, ran there to the tomb and looking for the Lord, and the angel said, he's not here. He's risen. Peter and John, I think it was, ran. John ran first, but he stood back and he let Peter go in first and ran in the tomb there, and no body there. The grave clothes were still there, and the folded napkin. I love the emblem of the folded napkin. You got to almost be a Jew to understand that. But that man, I'm going to return. I'm not done. I'm going to return. But the point is, his body was not there. Couldn't hold him. Well, they may lay this body in the grave one day, but it's not going to hold it. It's not going to keep it forever. It's coming forth, just like his body did. It came forth. How do I know it's going to come forth? I have that assurance. That's what this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians is all about. Giving us that assurance, because he resurrected, we too shall resurrect. Because this corruption is going to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality. And not resurrection day. So we've been given the spoils of victory. Victory over death and the grave. And then what were we talking about this morning? We've been given victory over the world. Victory over the world. That means over the things of the world and the influences of the world, the desires and passions of the flesh. Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. And look with me at verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. He's given to us faith. And it is the spoils of victory over the world. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth. He believes, and he believes, and he continues to believe, and he continues to believe until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That he is the Son of God. What does that mean? That he is the Son of God. He is God. That he was sent of God. He's God in the flesh. And we won't go into all the was the benefits of his becoming flesh for us. But it was that he might be the victor over these things, so that we too might have the victory. The spoils of victory. Oh, how blessed and wonderful they are. Now, in keeping with our context, back in Ephesians chapter 4, he gave to members of his body by his Spirit gifts with which to build up and to unity. That's in keeping with the context. It is a spoil of victory. You see, it's not in man to edify into unity. You got that? It's not in man to edify. That goes back to this morning, judge not that you be not judged. You see, we wanna judge, we wanna condemn. We don't wanna edify. And if we're judging and condemning, there's not unity. Not agreement. And he's given them to us by his Spirit. Turn with me to the book of John in chapter 7. And Jesus commenting in verse 38 concerning he that believeth on him, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, verse 39 is an expose on verse 38. What he meant and what he said in verse 38. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. You see, they didn't need the Holy Spirit because the Son of God was present. Jesus Christ was present. But when he gets ready to depart this world, he says, I'm going to give you my Spirit. I'm going to give you my Spirit. Tell me the book of, well, we're in the book of John. Chapter 14. Chapter 14. And look at verse 12. Jesus speaking to his church said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You're going to be able to do the works that I do, because I'm going to give you my Spirit. That's what he's talking about here in this chapter. He is leaving his Comforter, leaving his Spirit, giving his Spirit unto them. We're going to be able to do. We're going to be able to rise above sin We're going to be able to rise above Satan. We're going to be able to rise above the spiritual enemies that are all about us, and those that he said in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle against. We're going to be able to rise above the death and the grave. Not going to keep us.
Amen.
We don't have to fear it. Child of God. Oh yes, and when we get down to business and talk about it, we confess, yeah, what we really fear is the unknown. But is there really fear in that for us? Because all we have to know is we're going to be present with Him.
Amen.
You see? That's glorious. And what we say a lot of times is we fear, well, what we might have to go through before we cross over. Well, yeah. But why do we fear that? Because right now we don't have the grace needed to go through it.
Amen. Right.
But if he brings us to the point that we have to go through cancer, or that we have to go through some terrible tragedy that happens, that where we lie in the hospital or in a bed suffering and paining and what have you. For the child of God, we have the assurance that His grace, all we got to do is look to Him.
Amen.
And His grace will see us through it.
Amen.
We can be victorious just as He lived that life pleasing to the Father. Did always those things to please the Father. You say, well, I'm not perfect yet. I can't do that. Who is it that indwells you? Oh, ye of little faith. See, who is it that dwells you? The Sermon on the Mount. Yeah, then some things there that, man, well, who is it that indwells us? Whose are we? He was victorious over it. And He's given to us the victory. All we have to do is look to Him. Trust Him. And He will enable us to rise above, and as this morning's message, rise above the spirit of condemnation, the spirit of judging one another. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And this is of course, the Spirit given. The Spirit given to His church on the day of Pentecost. See, Jesus had left. And it was to be 10 days yet. And quite possibly that's why the Lord told him to tarry still at Jerusalem, church, until you be endued with power from on high. And when the day of Pentecost, verse 1, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. There it is. The Holy Ghost was upon His church.
Amen.
And all that was present. They were there in one accord. Waiting that day. And the Holy Ghost came and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we have the same power today that they had. The power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We don't have the power to speak in a different language just without learning it, as they did. We don't have the power to to rise someone off of the sick bed as they did. These were signs that were given, accrediting, this is my church, this is my sanctuary, this is my dwelling place. We don't have need of that today. We have the book.
Amen.
It's completed. No new revelation. We have the epistles to the churches telling us how a church ought to govern itself, how it ought to, and what it ought to be doing, how we ought to behave as members of that body. You see, He gave the gift of His Spirit. And back to our text in the fourth chapter, but looking at, and this is going to be forthcoming shortly, verse 11 says, and He gave some, that is, the apostles were given the gift of being an apostle from Jesus Christ, directly from Jesus Christ. Prophets were given of Christ and of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The Son of Man. But the evangelists and pastors and teachers were given by the Holy Spirit after the day of Pentecost. He equipped those men. He enabled those men for the work that they were called to do and enabled to do. It was the gift of His Spirit that enables. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I know we've, in the study of the fourth chapter of Ephesians, we've looked at this chapter often. I'm going to primarily this afternoon be reading the first verses rather than the latter verses. But in verse 1 of chapter 12, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, those gifts which are given by the Spirit, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. That's contrary to the Spirit of God. Spirit of God won't lead him to do that. To curse Christ.
Right.
And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. It takes the Spirit of God for you to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you say that Jesus is accursed, that's not the Spirit of God. Now, there are diversities. There are distribution of gifts. But the same Spirit, there are many different gifts that are distributed to the membership. But it's the same one Spirit.
Amen.
And I know we've covered this before, but as it is the one same Spirit, and the Spirit is in unity, with the Father and Son. And the Spirit only promotes unity. So those gifts that He distributes to the membership are to unify, not to divide, not to separate. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are differences of ministries, such as the apostles, the prophets, pastors, deacons, teachers, song leaders, piano players. Thank God for all of them.
Amen.
But the same Lord. You see, the Spirit doesn't distribute to every man the gift as He pleases, but as who pleases. Back to our text. According to the measure of Christ. According as Christ determined the measure and the gift. You see, this bowls of victory. This bowls of victory. Listen, we continue on all these things that the Spirit gives. It's given by the Spirit. It's not natural to man. It's only by the Spirit of God that we can do it for edifying and for unity of the body. Because that's contrary to man. That's contrary to this fella here. Apart from the Spirit of God. Praise God for His Spirit. Praise God for salvation.
Amen.
And the work of the Spirit in teaching and directing this man. And there are, we read verse 5. Verse 6. And there are diversities of operations. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. That operations is that which is operating. There's grace and faith and love. Did you ever notice, and I think all of us, except for maybe the younger members, but I think all the rest of us are old enough, have you ever noticed that some individuals seem to be more gracious than others? Some seem to have more faith than others. I've never met another man like Brother France.
Yeah.
With the faith.
Amen.
Wherewith he trusts the Lord. Then, and there are some that just, they just seem to have a spirit of love. It just rolls from them. Which, mercy.
Amen.
You see, compassion. Those are operations that are at work. God's operating of love and grace and mercy to us. But then, those operations are in operation in each one of us in varying degrees. You see. Praise God for those spoils of victory. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with it. Every man that is a child of God in the Lord's church the Spirit of God is manifest in them to profit with all. That is to profit the whole body in what? Unity. What that with all, prophet with all, is talking about. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Yes. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And some of those gifts have ceased in our time. And a verse in 1 Corinthians 13 talks about some of those have passed away. No longer needful, because we do have the completed word. Yes. They were in the days of the writings of the New Testament, they were in need of the apostles. They were in need, and we'll cover that more when we get into verse 11 and 12 of our text, but they were in need of prophets, prophesying, because telling people the word of God from the Old Testament, expounding to them, showing how this is today after Christ has come. These things portrayed Christ, and Christ has come. And now here's our responsibility. Well, those are some of the gifts of sport, of victory that have been given to us. And the Spirit now is given to each man according to the measure of the gift of Christ.